All right. So welcome to this session. During the next 25 minutes, we're going to discuss about the interesting things to know and the tips and the experience you may have about organizing Wikidata training or workshop. So during this workshop, I'm not going to talk alone. Of course, I'm going to present you a bit my own experience, my own lesson learned, and my tips about how to organize a Wikidata workshop. But I would like to keep also some time for a real discussion between all of you, because you may also have not only questions, but maybe things to add. So we're going to try to keep time for that at the end of the track. So I'm Léa Lacroix. I'm working for 1 year now as a community communication manager in the Wikidata team. But before that, I was already a volunteer, quite experienced in first training about Wikipedia, and then I started doing some Wikidata workshops as well. So, we're gonna go through these different topics before going to the discussion part. Right. So, for people who may never had organized a workshop before, a few tips about where to organize a workshop. First of all, the place needs to be quiet. It needs to be ideally accessible in terms of location, in terms of the venue itself. A good internet is required, of course. You have to have some places for people to sit with their computer and also to do stuff. A screen or projector is always better, and you can, but you don't necessarily have to, depend on the context, also provide the computers for your attendees who don't have one. Some ideas of places where you could go to organize your workshop. You could go to libraries, you could go to university, to museums. You may also have a local free software group, association around you. Also a Fab Lab or other kind of collaborative places where they do hacking or other stuff. Or any other educational association or organization. The good thing about this is that you're going to also improve your contacts and maybe reach a broader audience if you also use the communication of the organism you work with. So it's always a good idea not to stay alone, but to try to work with the local partners you could have. So again, these are facts that are from my own experience, but you could have different ideas about this. So usually when I'm just requested to make a quick Wikidata introduction, I can do that in 30 minutes, not less, because otherwise it's very, very packed and people don't really have the time to properly understand what it is. Of course, if I have more time, I like to take at least 1 hour so I can make a bit more detailed presentation. What I like to do is also try to keep some time also for the people to directly try to edit Wikidata, or at least browse a bit the items, the property, etc., so they can have their own idea. If I want them to edit Wikidata, I like to have 1 more hour so they can really take the time to try stuff. I keep specific time for the query service, because the query service, I'm going to talk about this later, but it's a very specific topic that I like to have some dedicated time for that. And if I want people to really try it and get a feeling about it, I usually take 1 or 2 more hours. And of course, there are so many cool tools that you may want to show about Wikidata, tools to reuse data or tools to improve the data inside Wikidata. And for that, it's of course, again, extra time, especially if you want people to try it. And if you want, you can also organize 1 or several days dedicated to Wikidata, and then it's more like the hackathon forum with people maybe trying doing their own project or really getting the hands in the project to do stuff. So you may wonder, does that request some specific skills to organize a Wikidata workshop? So the answer is yes, but good news is you don't have to have all these skills yourself. The ideal idea is to have several people to work with and to have like a small team that can help you because you don't necessarily know everything. So of course you need, or at least the person who is like speaking or standing in front of the people needs to be talk in front of an audience. And good knowledge of Wikidata is of course required, but also it's always useful to know quite much about the community rules and because people maybe they will ask questions to you about this. If you talk about the query service, of course, having good knowledge of the query service and also experience with other tools. And all the very technical and coding skills are optional. You don't need to know everything about all the programmation language, of course, to run a Wikidata workshop. So usually what I do when I want to introduce Wikidata, when I have only 30 minutes, like I said, it's quite quick. So I start describing a bit what Wikidata is, staying on the basics, talking about the concept of knowledge base, talking about the collaborative thing, because most of the people who are not super familiar with the Wikimedia project in general, they may be surprised by this idea that yes, all the people can edit and all the people can modify what other did, and it's always good to remind this. There also a mention about the license, of course, and so on, so the general overview of the project. I like to give a few numbers just to give the people an overview of how big Wikidata is and to give them a scale. So bad news is that these numbers change all the time. So you have to update your slide all the time. It's so annoying. I do that all the time because the number of items and also property or even the number of queries that are run per day is raising again and again. So of course, maybe your number that you just wrote the day before are already wrong. And what I do then is that usually I show to them an item to show a bit the structure, how Wikidata is structured. So then I can show the statement, I can show the property, I can show the values, etc. I can also show that the items are connected to each other, because this is one of the main things about Wikidata. It's not just pieces of information separate, but everything is connected. So I can show them quickly that I can navigate from one item to another. That's a nice way to show this linked data thingy. And if I have time, I like to show some cool example of reusing the data. So you probably know some example. I can show Histropedia. I can show Ask Platypus. I can show these tools who reuse directly the data. And something that I never forget at the end of my presentation, for people who want to know more and to look by themselves, I explain to them where to find help. So I show them at least on the main page of Wikidata where to find the helping page. I tell them that they can write on the project chat and get some help from there. I maybe give them also the link to the social network or stuff like that, so I don't leave them alone once my presentation is finished, and they can go further and learn more about Wikidata. And if I have more time, then I can do more stuff. I can, for example, explain a bit more the history of Wikidata. It's interesting for people to understand this global project, why it was created at the first place. So of course, I mentioned the fact that it's part of the Wikimedia project. I mentioned that Wikidata is used for the Intel language links of Wikipedia, even if of course it's not the main reason of Wikidata, but still this is something that people understand, because usually they've already used this switching from one Wikipedia to another via the language link, so they know what we're talking about. They see immediately the interest of Wikidata. And I mentioned, for example, the fact that yeah, that allows the data to be centralized in one place and this kind of stuff. But I also explained that the data can be reused outside of the Wikimedia project, of course, for other other uses, and that is not only connected to Wikipedia. Then I like to talk about the community a bit. I like to talk about the topics that people like. I like to talk about the different roles that people can have, because just like on Wikipedia, there are some kind of roles. There are people who do some massive imports. There are people who like to sort everything, people who like to create new properties or discuss about new stuff, etc., etc. So it's a way to also make the project a bit more, I don't know, human, showing what the people do there. I can, for example, mention the Wiki project. This is especially helpful when the people have maybe they already have an interest, like, for example, heritage monuments, and they want to know more, and then I can say, oh, there is already a group of people that is discussing about this, so maybe you can join, you can learn more, etc. So that's the first contact for them to go further. I can definitely show even more cool tools, for example. I can show mix and match, I can show quick statements, I can show the different tools that people can use to get data in Wikidata or to improve the data, etc. So I can go a bit further on this topic. And the thing I really like to do when I have more time is to show them the editing mode, because this is important if people really want to be involved. So what I do is that we edit, I do directly a demo, I edit something. The easiest thing to edit are usually the labels, because I always manage to find something, for example, that is existing in English but not in French or in another language that I know, so or that the people know. So sometimes they can tell me, yeah, okay, here you should write this, and we do that together, and we save the label, and then I can show them, look, it's already there. For the statements, it needs maybe a bit more preparation, maybe to check before something that is missing at that moment, and that I know already what I could edit with them, because sometimes it's actually difficult to find something to do, something easy to do immediately with the people. So that can be prepared a bit in advance. After that, what is cool is also to take a bit of time to let people try on their own. Maybe they have already their own topic they would like to check. I usually suggest them to check what about their favorite topic, what is the existing, what are the existing items around, is there some information missing, and then we can also go further about the source, where can you find the sources, and then if we have more time we can continue editing Wikidata. So about the query service, like I said, it's for me it's different topic. So when I don't have a lot of time, I just mention it quickly. I show some nice queries, some beautiful queries, and people are happy. They see that we can do some data visualization with Wikidata. But if I really have some time dedicated to the query service, we can also do a nice workshop. So the prerequisite for the attendees, I would say, are only knowing a bit of the structure of Wikidata. So for example, if I did an introduction to Wikidata before showing the items, the statement, etc., then I assume that now they know a bit this structure. And that's it. They don't need to have any knowledge in coding. They don't need to have anything of it. If the workshop is good, then they can go out of the workshop and being able to build their first queries, even without any nerdy knowledge before that. I would say that your goals when you give a query service workshop is, of course, not for the people to know everything at the end of the session. We really need to relax with that, because they won't know every secrets of Sparkle after a two-hour workshop, of course. I think that our goal is to give them an overview of the tool and an overview of the possibilities that it can do, even if they don't know how to do it yet. To reassure them a bit, because, to be honest, Sparkle can scare a lot of people. Yeah, the interface as it is right now, it's improving, but it can be still a bit scary. So we have to accompany people, make them curious about what the tool can do, and make them feel that at the end of the workshop, they are able to do something. I think that's pretty important, and that will give them the will to continue after that at home or at another workshop to explore a bit more the query service. So, by discussing with other people who do workshop, I realized that there are two main methods that people use. Again, it's just the experience of people I know. Maybe you have other methods. I would like to discuss about this with you. But basically, these two methods are like giving a very, very quick introduction to the query service and then let people try, start, and be there directly to answer their question and like go into the crowd and answer the question of the people directly, or doing a workshop a bit more organized and structured and go from step to step, from zero to a nice query. So I'm going to show you very quickly. I kind of listed a bit the because I see advantages and inconvenience, or let's say risks, to both of the method. So like I say, the minimalist method is really the time spent in front of all the people is very, very short, which is good for people who are not super fan of talking in front of a lot of people. So just introduction about the structure and then let people do their stuff and being there for helping them, of course. So the advantage are that people have more freedom to try if they want to try stuff, they are not super directed, and that we have a lot of discussions directly to the people, so we can adapt more to their need and to they want what they want to do with the query service. But the risk I see with this method is that some people who don't feel super comfortable may feel super lost, and that they don't know what to do, and that they're scared about the tool, which is not super good. And yeah, we need to remind that there are different ways for people to learn knowledge in general. Some people like to experiment directly. Some other maybe have a more, I don't know, I said academic, but you see the idea of having, it's about having the theory first and the practical after that. And if you give them the practical right away, maybe they can feel yeah, really not in their comfort zone. So that's the other risk I see about this method. And the second method, basically, we start from scratch, or more easily from one of the examples of the query service. So, for example, the famous cat query that you have in the examples. And then we can go step by step modifying the query to show people that they have power on this query and that they can custom the query. So for example, we start with the cat query and then we say, okay, what if we want, instead of the cat, we want the dogs? Okay, so we change the item and then it's sort of, oh, okay, cool. What about if we want the dog who are living in Germany? I don't know. So we add step by step more and more complexity and showing the potential of the tool this way. So this is a method that I use most of the time. The advantage is that it is, of course, more structured and explained. And what I also like is that everyone gets, at the end of the workshop, everyone had the same content and the same level of information. When, if we talk directly to people, maybe some of them, yeah, they ask different questions, so they go out with a different outcome. But the risk I see is that if people have different levels when they arrive here, maybe you have newcomers and maybe you have people who already made Sparkle or just feel more comfortable with all this coding and stuff, then these ones can may feel a bit frustrated, like, yeah, okay, I know I'm already there for half an hour, what are you doing? So that's, of course, the risk of this more directed workshop. And yeah, and in general, people who want to, who prefer, who are more in this state of mind of trying freely stuff, then they can also feel a bit frustrated. So in the end, I have the feeling that both methods are interesting, but you need to also maybe to adapt a bit to your audience. A quick thing about if you are looking for if you are looking for support, you can. There is a category on Commons to find a lot of slides, different slides ordered by language, by a lot of things, and of course, don't forget to share your own. if you want. And of course, if you organize a workshop and you're looking for your co-trainers that I mentioned before, feel free to share your event in the Wikidata newsletter on the event page that we have, and we can help, and especially I can help to share the information and maybe find some speakers that may be in your area and want to organize a workshop with you. I'm already running out of time, that's sad. So I just wanted to finish with the tips coming again from my own experience would be to maybe not stay alone, but try to find some other trainers that may bring some skills that you don't have right now. Something very important is to adapt your content to the audience, which means that before you need to know a bit more about the needs of your audience, which is sometimes difficult. But for example, if you know that you're gonna talk in front of librarians, maybe you can think a bit about what they're going to be interested in, what will be the topics they want to talk about, and change your presentation regarding this. I really like to make the presentation active and to make people directly try to edit stuff. Even if it's just a small label, they will be already happy and feeling empowered and that they can do it. I like to show, of course, good example. When I show an item, I usually show one of the featured item or something that I know that's already good, to show them an example of a good structure. But I also like to show actually bad items, like bad, let's say something where information is missing, because then this is the moment when the people can say, hey, well, I have the answer. I know what's the thing. So they can also feel like they can bring something to Wikidata, and that's also an important feeling. All right, I talk too much, but maybe we still have a few minutes for questions. Yeah? Okay. Yeah, that's okay. No, let's do that. So do you have any question or feedback? No? Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I have two questions. Do you recommend to make a topic-related Wikidata workshop or just a neutral one? So like I did, for example, one about election data. So that was one of the questions we had in advance. And the second one is, what do you think? Is it better to split it up into beginners and more experienced and make two parallel slots, or just make one for everyone? Especially now in the beginning of where we do the first workshops.
I think both work in terms of thematic workshop or general workshop. I think for the beginners anyway, it's always good to start with a very general introduction so they get the spirit. But you can already orient the example. For example, the example item you show, depending on your topic, you're going to show something different. A monument, a city, a person, etc., etc. So you can already orient your workshop. But I think especially when the people maybe are a bit experienced, you can already really decide a topic that can be related to the place you are. By the way, if you are in a museum, it's always nicer to like maybe work on some topic, etc. So I definitely think that both work. And I think it's nice to have different levels, even if sometimes it's difficult. People, maybe they're not sure about where to go. What is, am I advanced already or not? So it's sometimes a bit difficult to separate. And in that regard, maybe it's not the best idea to make two parallel tracks. At least I try maybe to make several sessions, but one after the other, like we did for the query workshop today, for example. It was one after the other, so people who want to learn everything at once, then they can follow the full track. But it's of course just my idea. Yeah.
Who's next? Yeah. For topic related, I had tried to show editing and querying in parallel. So first the basics, but then if you get a list of people employed at a organization, and then where they are, the participants also are, and then we see, oh, there's someone missing, so let's edit. And then we rerun the query and see that this changed.
Well, except when the delay of updating the dumps is a bit long, and then your edit doesn't appear right away on the query service. But usually it works quite well. Yeah, so people really feel that they did something, they improved something.
Quick question about a number of participants. Mm-hmm. What do you recommend?
Ah, yeah. So I think you can organize workshop with a lot of people, but then you should have the number of trainers accordingly. So I usually try not to have less than one speaker per 10 person. And even more, I think one trainer for 5 person is the ideal. That means that for 15 people, you already need 3 trainers. That's also why I suggested to not to be alone, but to have a full team with you.
I have one general question. Maybe you have already had workshops, and do you have some certain material that you now, out of your experience, you are more using that more than, like, do you have certain examples that you use more, where the people gave you positive feedback? You saw, like, it's good to follow that, to use that material more than the other. This is the first part of the question. The second is there someone apart from you who is organizing or who could help organizing workshops from the community? Like, wouldn't it be also helpful to start such a group instead of the project chat where people are maybe for other
things? Okay. Yeah, so very quick answer in terms of material. I have my slides that I use most of the time. At least one version of it is on Commons. Like I said, it needs to be updated all the time, but yeah, at least one version. And in terms of which item to show, for example, it really depends on the topic I want to go to, so I need to prepare it a bit. And just to answer your other question, there are some people who can help. The best way is, of course, to find some people around you. But there is also, he's not here right now, but Asaf, who's here, he's working for the foundation and he's doing a lot of amazing workshop, and he's traveling to do workshops, so he's also willing to help, and he has strong experience regarding organizing workshops, so you may want to get in touch with him.
I think we have to wrap it up there. We have to give people a couple of minutes to get to the next session.
Yeah.
Can we all thank Leah in a traditional way? Thank you.
Thank you.